Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about coronavirus from the New Scientist, 8th of February. Before I read about it, I'm just saying that I'm a science teacher who's had, brain stuff from stroke and stuff like that. I'm slowly getting back to where I should be. Obviously, I can't always pass all those psychological tests to get back in the classroom, but I'm still going. But going backwards, relevant to this, is that I teach about epidemics and pandemics and stuff like that. And in class, I would teach a certain thing and then have a computer game. There's a computer game called Pandemic. And of course, the students didn't necessarily pick up all the nuances of what I was trying to say, but it was extraordinary to see them play Pandemic because they had played it before and they knew exactly how to wipe out the human race. And that's the way to do is to get things which didn't show their symptoms right away, so you couldn't quarantine them to symptoms, and it didn't kill everybody. But then it did evolve to kill everybody afterwards. So what happened, petered out and then went to all ports everywhere and then evolved to be deadly, and that's how it was going. But I'll just read this here. Deadly unknowns is the editorial. We are still scrambling to understand how dangerous the Wuhan coronavirus is. For those of us who turn to science for answers, the Wuhan coronavirus outbreak is still unsettling. We don't know what proportion of the infected people are likely to die. Our figures for how many other people on average each carrier infects are only estimates, and the total numbers of cases is likely to be far higher than those confirmed so far. These three parameters are crucial for epidemiologists who use models to calculate how bad an outbreak will get, but we don't yet know what values to punch into the models. As in China, as cases in China soar, the list of unknowns gets even longer. I can't see why. It remains unclear whether the virus can spread before symptoms show, critical. Now, we don't yet know how or when the virus is likely to have crossed over from bats, see page 10, or why the first known human cases of the virus seems to have no connections to Wuhan food market, where the outbreak appears to have begun. Is every case equally infectious, or are some people unlikely to pass it on, while others act as super spreaders, like typhoid Mary, I suppose? I think they tried to get rid of her, and then they eventually, I think they deported it to St. Helena or something like that. As in the virus only, is the virus only deadly for those who are older or those who have already chronic conditions? I was just went in and saw a little pamphlet on Spanish flu. Oh my God, Father, this is the World War, 1918, or 1919 pamphlet in Sydney about how and the patients look completely stuffed. Okay, we don't know what the outbreak is likely to go in one of three ways. As the magazine went to press, the outbreak seemed on the verge of becoming a pandemic, in which multiple epidemics as the infection take place across the world. The pandemic is a problem is that if you can guard your country against an epidemic in one country, if the epidemic's happening in several countries. And the fact that it's gone to Africa just shudders my thing, or India. From here, the virus can either peter out or go truly global. We don't know yet how many of the lives this would claim. Now, it's interesting that this is winter in China, and I do know that they have a different relationship with snot. Or at least in Beijing, they had a different relationship with snot. Everyone openly blew their nose and inspected it, and hankies, they had a different idea. If it goes global, it could one day resemble flu, which every year causes an estimated 3 to 5 million cases of severe illness and about 290 to 650,000 deaths. Flus can cause mild symptoms in people and much worse in one another's, and most deaths occur in people over 65, all of which may be true for the coronavirus. There is another option. The race is now on to find drugs and vaccines that could help bring the virus under control and prevent global exposure. While the drug development will take time, trials of existing drugs are already underway in China. If successful, we may be able to save many lives, although we can't calculate the number. Well, yeah, I don't know how responsible that article was in terms of giving us new information, but the world has totally changed. I think within hours we had sequenced this genome as soon as it hit Australia. And I think we're the world leader. Inside Wuhan's lockdown, my godfather, it looks like completely insane. I have seen a viral video sent to me of people just walking down the street and falling over. My reasoning is that this doesn't look like a flu virus. You don't suddenly walk, oh, I've got the flu and drop dead. It's a few steps to it. Also, there's hysterical, you know, it's a huge hysterica. Hubei residents are trying to stay positive as hospitals attempt to treat thousands of infected by the new coronavirus, says Donna Liu. The streets of Wuhan, Hubei province, are eerily quiet. The city of 11 million people, the center of the coronavirus outbreak, has been locked down since 23rd of January, with all public transport, flights and trains suspended. Quote, you pretty much don't see anybody outside, says a man who lives in Wuhan and is asked to be identified only as Alex. Private vehicles are banned in the downtown area. Highways are shut, so residents aren't able to leave the city. The only places full of pharmacies where queues wait for those trying to buy face masks, gloves and alcohol disinfectants. You'd think you'd have an Uber service there, wouldn't you? Despite concerns about potential food shortages, large supermarkets remain open and well-stocked. Some stores won't allow customers in without a body temperature scan. Following the outbreak of the Lunar New Year holiday, in which is supposed to end on the 30th of January, has been extended across China, whatever it means. In Hubei, business will be shut until at least the 13th of February. Alex, they've extended the holidays. Alex doesn't know when he will return to work. Every day we are at home closely following the news, he says. The first few days of isolation were boring, he says, and now supplies of items like face masks are running short. Alex considers himself lucky because none of his relatives have been infected to date, but friends and colleagues have been. It's been estimated that at least 75,000 people in Wuhan have already been infected by the COVID-19 virus. Thousands of medical staff from across China have been sent to Wuhan. A nurse from Anhui province who didn't want to be identified said that the 200-bed hospital in Wuhan where she is working is at capacity. Staff are supposed to work 4-hour shifts, but they often last 6 to 8 hours, she says. She adds that protective suits and sterilization equipment were extremely short supply until the 1st of February when more donations arrived. A doctor working in Shanghai who asked to be identified only as Ryan estimates 50 staff from his hospitals have been sent to Wuhan to help treat patients. Well, there you go. That's bizarre. I don't know how you quote this, how you write a report if you don't have good quality information. The remaining medical staff at his hospitals don't have enough masks, he says, because most of them have been donated to Wuhan, as they have resorted to reusing masks after irradiating them under UV light and have suspended all but essential medical services. One would wonder whether that's actually an effective thing, isn't it? Bizarre. Wuhan hospitals have been overwhelmed with many patients sent home to self-quarantine. Hospitals are being constructed to meet the demand, including a 1,000-bed Hoshenhan Hospital, which was built in 10 days and completed on the 3rd of February, and the 1,300-bed Lishan Hospital, which is slated to open the 6th of February. People across China have donated medical supplies, but there have been widespread anger about their distribution. A report from Hubei Red Cross revealed that it had delivered 2 million donated face masks, many of the hospitals that didn't need them. As lockdowns continue in more than 15 cities in Hubei, residents are trying to keep their spirits up across Wuhan. The morale-boosting chant, Wan Jiao, which means come on, stay strong, has been echoed from apartment windows. People have been calling the term Yu Qi Fan, which means meal by cloud as they virtually eat together via video calls. There is also Yuban Man, the same concept of the Lunar New Year greeting. But the uncertainty of when the outbreak will be contained is also taking a toll. It's hard to stay positive, says Alex, who's before. We're doing our best not to be anxious. That really strikes me of a Women's Weekly report. Beauty therapy, 10 out of 9 out of 10 women think their bra or whatever it is or whatever. This doesn't strike me as very good. I suppose it is the best they can do. Special report, coronavirus. Understanding the outbreak, what happens next? Oh my godfather. Oh. What? Oh, this is not good. This map showing China is showing cases gone totally out of control in China. I don't quite understand. This picture is not good. The novel coronavirus that emerged in Wuhan has exploded worldwide. Well, that's something. What happens if it goes pandemic? Deborah McKenzie reports. Now, the interesting thing is that they do exercises on pandemics all the time to try and rate people. Let's see what they say in this article. With more than 17,000 confirmed cases and probably far more undiagnosed, the 2019 COVID coronavirus has emerged in Wuhan, China. It seems to pose to go global. As new scientists went to press, the epidemic was still centred on the province of Hubei, but the virus has travelled to 23 countries, and further epidemics seem possible. Genetic analysis suggests the virus isn't changing much in humans, becoming neither more or less harmful, so there is an outbreak likely to go from here. Very interesting. It's interesting that the virus can evolve to evolve. There you go. There are three options, says Eric Toner of the Johns Hopkins University of Baltimore. One, the virus new to humans that doesn't adapt quickly can simply peter out after they have spread to several successive people. As another coronavirus from animals, MERS seem to have done. So MERS is from camels. But the rocketing number of cases in China means that the COVID-19 shows no sign of doing this. Two, we could block transmission of the virus enough for it to die out. One way would be to drug advance vaccines. How soon will the treatment will be ready? See you, Ceci. Goodbye, darling. That worked related to SARS virus in 2003, but early signs suggest that it might not be this easy this time. Global spread. Quote, options 1 and 2 seem unlikely, says Turner. Instead, the virus may simply spread like flu does until most people have been exposed to it, either die or recover or become immune. Then it may burn out for lack of hosts or become a disease that almostly affects children who haven't yet encountered it. Last year, Turner led a pandemic management exercise in Baltimore in which industry and health leaders discussed options as computer models of a pandemic involving a fictional coronavirus played out. After 18 months, the spread of the virus started to slow down as people either died or became immune. However, by then, the fictional virus had killed 65 million people. Turner stresses that the simulation is just that, a model of a hypothetical virus slightly different from the 2019 COVID. But unless the new virus self-destructs and we find ways to stop it, it's likely to follow a similar route circulating until the pandemic slows. This is especially bad news for older people and those with pre-existing health conditions. Like SARS, the virus seems to kill by triggering out-of-control inflammation. In China, people have had severe cases of the virus, unlikely to be older and have chronic inflammatory disease like diabetes, says Sylvie Brand, the World Health Organization. The full impact of the virus will depend on the death rate, which we don't know yet. Understanding the Wuhan virus I don't understand the brackets here. It seems to spread more readily than SARS, making it harder to contain and quarantine. One problem is that some of the cases of the new viruses are mild. No public health systems are equipped to test everyone with flu-like symptoms, then quarantine all those who have the virus. for everyone to have be in contact with to prevent the spread. However, this is what we would need to stop it spreading, says David Heyman at the London School of Hygiene and Tropical Medicine, who organised the WHO's SARS campaign. Preparedness plans. In theory, the virus could be largely kept out of countries that burn and burn out in China. But that will be hard. Models show even testing all travellers at exit and entry would fail to catch 75% of those incubating viruses, Pasi Spitzen, European Centre for Disease Prevention and Control. Temperature monitoring at airports has had no effect on SARS. There seems to be more likely the virus will go pandemic, circulating in multiple cities worldwide. Independent, self-sustaining outbreaks in major cities globally could become inevitable because of substantial exportation of pre-symptomatic cases, Gabriel Ilong of Hong Kong University and colleagues wrote in a recent modelling study at Lancet. Preparedness plans and my mitigation interventions should be readied for quick deployment globally. Countries were supposed to be invest in such plans under the 2005 WHO rules, but an independent report last year found severe weaknesses in countries' ability to prevent, detect and respond to health emergencies. Fewer than 5% of the countries got high marks for their ability to rapidly respond to an epidemic. Heyman says one lucky break with SARS was that it never invaded a chaotic, impoverished Mecca city that would have had a particular trouble organising the contact tracing and quarantine required to stop the virus this way. The break seems unlikely with the Wuhan virus, which has already reached India, the Philippines. The Gates Foundation earmarked $10 billion to fight the virus, half for China, the rest of help for African countries to prepare. African health agencies will hold a workshop in Senegal next week. This week, even if the virus remains largely in China, there would be a global consequence. According to Michael Ursin, a University of Minnesota, and his team of 153 crucial drugs, from blood pressure pills to stroke treatment, are mostly made in China. And there are fears the virus could affect the production and export. Ostrom is worried about further impacts. So far, he says, people aren't saying how bad it can get. Understanding the Wuhan virus. Pathogens obey simple rules of transmissions. These can be used to predict how fast the number of infections will rise and fall, how hard it will be to stop the disease, and how bad things are likely to get. Measuring the necessary parameters in a virus that is new to humans can be difficult, though. First, you need a basic reproduction number, RO. If everyone is susceptible to an infection, and we are, as the Wuhan virus is new to the humans, RO on average number of people that any individual with the virus will infect. Research teams have calculated 12 different estimates of the virus's RO so far. Together, these suggest between 1.8 and 3.3. It's got to be under 1, I'd say, to die out. To stop the epidemic, the average number of new people of each case infected needs to be below 1. So there you go. This happens as people become immune, get a vaccine, or change their behaviour to prevent transmission by washing hands. This is a case of the Wuhan virus. People in China are already avoiding crowds on public transport. The second parameter is the number of cases. Because the illnesses look like flu, can be mild, many cases are thought to be going undiagnosed. But long-distance travellers are becoming under close scrutiny, and assuming that they aren't vastly more likely to become infected than people who don't travel, this can give us an indication of the case numbers. This way, two research groups have calculated that its numbers in Wuhan could be between 20 and 40 times higher than official numbers. When the virus has jumped over from animals, as in the case of the coronavirus, one question is whether it is still jumping. So far, analysis suggests very little genetic variation in the virus, which implies that it only crossed into humans once. Genetic analysis also suggests that the virus appears to be stable and it doesn't seem to be changing or adapting to us. Another crucial parameter is the fatality rate, which we cannot yet know. Well, it's really good if it's none or 100%. Anything else is just stuffed. The number of deaths so far make up about 2% of the known cases, but according to the China National Health Commission, only 5% of known cases have either died or recovered so far. So we don't know what that means. Some of the rest will die, so the real death rate must be higher. I'm a bit confused by that. The one study of the hospitalised people with known to outcome suggestion suggests the fatality rate can be 14%, but these are only cases where it's severe enough to be hospitalised. This is what I was thinking. We don't know how many people had mild illnesses but lower death rates from the virus. To fill the gaps in our understanding will take a massive testing of exposed population. Be interesting. Okay, viruses from animals. Bats are very dirty, gregarious people, all things for it. Infections that cross over from other species are a deadly problem. Michael LaPlage. New coronavirus is the latest example of a disease that has jumped from animals into humans. When infections do, they can be deadly. The 2019 COVID is no exception. Nearly all viruses and bacteria that infect other organisms are completely harmless to people. But a tiny proportion can infect us and cause so-called zoonotic diseases, which come from animals rather than other people. Such diseases are massive problems. They make around 2.5 billion people ill every year and kill 22.7 million according to the 2012 estimate. Not all zoonotic diseases cause serious illness, but the Ebola virus, for example, currently kills most of those and thinks, that's a good way of not being effective. One reason zoonotic viruses can be deadly is that we lack the pre-existing immunity to them. Another is that the viruses aren't adapted to humans. Viruses that normally circulate amongst people can evolve to become less lethal, as perhaps, and helps them spread. They don't want you to drop dead within a day because you won't pass them on. I think they've got this topsy-turvy in the head. This is Chris Coleman, the University of Nottingham, UK. To get infected, people need to come in contact with the animal and virus or usually infects. This is most likely with domesticated animals. Camels carry the MERS coronavirus that causes sporadic human cases, for instance. And many viruses that jump into people like MERS seldom spread from person to person. They can still infect thousands, though. Rabies is the most caused by the dog bites. Kills 60,000 people a year. Others, such as Ebola, can spread from person to person, but aren't very good at it because they cause relatively small outbreaks. In 2019, coronavirus, by contrast, appears quite good at spreading from person to person. While we don't know how deadly it is yet, Coleman says, quote, it's not the most deadly coronaviruses we've ever had. To trace the new virus's origin, researchers have been comparing the genome to that of other coronaviruses. This showed that it derives from a strain that infects bats, probably the intermediate horseshoe bat. It's highly related to bat coronaviruses, said Vathilingajara Arumagaswamy at the University of California, Los Angeles. This makes sense that bats are known to harbour many viruses, including coronaviruses. Virus infections are especially likely to spread amongst bats. They can fly long distances, roost close to each other. Bats also seem able to carry infections without getting ill, which helps spread the bat viruses. The new coronavirus might have jumped from bats into another animal a few months or even a few decades ago, and then from that immediate host into humans. We know that the coronavirus behind SARS outbreak in 2002-2003 spread from bats into palm civets before infecting people. You'd have to be eating the palm civets, wouldn't you? One initial study suggested that the new virus could have come from snakes, but some biologists are sceptical. Another early study implicated mink. Samples from animals at the Wuhan market where the virus appears to have emerged are being tested, but no results have been announced. It took years to trace the origins of SARS through technology that has greatly improved since then. In the meantime, many charities have called for a permanent closure of markets in China selling wild animals. but this could lead to more dangerous black market trade when China shuts the bird market in 2013-14 to try to stop the H7N9 bird flu spreading. It made things worse. Coleman thinks that there is little we can do to stop people coming into contact with animals that carry dangerous viruses. It's a very difficult to control that, he says. He says we need to have vaccines already in advance. This would mean creating vaccines that are effective against a wide range of viruses, or developing vaccines that require only minor tweaks to work against the new viral strains, much like the annual flu vaccines. That's interesting. Other infections that jump to humans. Biologists have been warning for decades about the risk of animal viruses spreading to people and calling for more surveillance and preparation. There is good reason to worry. The last global pandemic in 2019 that killed up to 400,000 people was caused by a strain of flu that came from pigs. Oh, that's a lot of people, isn't it? And that flu is thought to be descended from the 1918 flu, which came from birds, which killed up to 15 million people. HIV, which has infected about 75 million people, is thought as a human virus, but it jumped from chimpanzees to humans in relatively recent years in the 1930s. There is already about 4 human coronaviruses, which usually cause mild cold-like symptoms. They are thought to have come from animals thousands of years ago. Flu remains one of the biggest dangers, with fears that a very deadly strain could emerge. Other zoonotic threats include Lassa fever, Rift Valley fever, Marburg virus disease, and Napier virus infection. Okay, sorry, I've got to finish reading. That was in the middle. This continues. The race for treatments will take time to develop coronavirus vaccine, but some existing drugs may help save lives even before then, says Michael LaPlage. The race to develop vaccines and treatments for the new coronavirus is on. The UK announces this week will spend or donate $20 million for vaccine development. Or Jack Ma, a billionaire co-founder of the Alibaba Group, is donating $14 million for similar efforts. He'll lose that overnight if the virus affects his trade. A vaccine could be essential for controlling the outbreak. There are plans to test existing experimental vaccines against SARS for use with the 2019 COVARS, as well as several efforts to develop new ones, but this will take time. Quote, a vaccine could take at least a year, if not more, says virologist Jonathan Ball at the University of Nottingham, UK. What can be done in the meantime? The good news is a few existing drugs may help save lives before them, and it may be possible to develop other treatments in as little as 6 months. There are 2 main ways of treating viral infections. Antibodies, i.e. small molecule drugs. Antibodies are large proteins that bind to the viruses to trigger the destruction. It can take our immune systems 2 weeks after a new infection to produce enough antibodies to fight it off. But this can be accelerated by injecting people with antibiotics made by cells grown in a vat. This can keep the virus in check until your immune response kills it fully. Antibodies are less likely to cause side effects than other drugs because they bind more specifically to virus. So this means we should be able to find a safe, effective antibodies against the 2019 coronavirus relatively quickly. The problem will be mass producing them fast enough. Go genetic engineering and CRISPR technology. The team in China that tested antibodies against the coronavirus that caused the SARS outbreak in 2003 has found that one that binds to the new coronavirus as well. But the team leader, Tuan Yang, Fudan University, says it could take 1 to 2 months to make enough antibiotics to start testing on animals and then people. Antibody search. So these are antibodies. 2 antibodies for treating MERS coronavirus have already been tested in people. The biotechnology company that makes them, Regeneron, says it's unlikely to work against the 2019 coronavirus, but will test them and others. However, it takes time. While developing antibodies for Ebola, it took Regeneron 6 months to get to a stage of testing in humans. A Chinese company called WuXi Biologic announced that it, in a press release last week, that it's establishing a 100-strong team dedicated to developing antibody treatments for the 2019 coronavirus. It says that it might be able to start mass production in a record of 4 to 5 months. But by that stage, the outbreak could be all over a million of people might be infected, in which case making enough wouldn't be easy. There aren't many antibody factories, says Ball, and they're all already busy producing antibodies for treating cancer and other diseases. There might be a shortcut instead of making antibodies in a vat. A US company called Rein Bio injects the genes, coding them into leg muscles. Antibody production in the body continues for weeks and even months, so the injections could be given to people to prevent infections as well as treat those already infected. Best possibility, says Neil Path, the head of Rein Bio, but this has only been tested in other animals, so health authorities may be reluctant to try on people. Second way is for treating viral infections is to find small molecules that stop the virus replicating by interfering with their proteins. Antivirals like these are usually simple to manufacture and can be taken in pill form, both of which have big advantages, but 99% of potential small molecule drugs fail, says Bale. So developing new antivirals from scratch could take years. However, there are a few existing small molecule drugs that might help. For instance, the experimental antiviral called Gladsvir, developed by treating Ebola is active against coronavirus, says US maker BioCyst Pharmaceuticals. It has already been passed safety tests in people, as a team in China has identified 4 existing approved drugs that might also work: Pluofloxacin, Bictegravir, Nelfentir, and Tegoblivir. Doctors in Wuhan, China, have already started 2 randomized controlled trials. One will test 2 drugs called Lopinavir and Ritonavir given together. These are already used to treat HIV, and there is some evidence that they work against coronaviruses too. The other trial is an experimental drug called Remdesivir, made in the US firm called Gilead Sciences. Quote, given the scale of the outbreak in China, you would hope to get a reasonably quick answer to whether the intervention works as well. The manufacturers of these are already in place and they're easily available. In the meantime, most people with the new virus are being treated for the symptoms rather than the specific virus. Unfortunately, this isn't always enough for people who are older and have pre-existing conditions, or for whom the virus seems to be both seems more deadly. Is there anything more to write about? Okay, so that's the end of the coronavirus. I hope this is worthwhile and it's turned out to be a reasonable theme. Another podcast, another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.